It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks 3-1. First game back after the Four Nations break, and Vegas adds a win to the win column. 34-17-6, 74 points on the year. Next in action Monday in Los Angeles against the Kings. And help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this game on the whole, the first half or so belonged to Kevin Lankinen. The second half, and specifically the third period, it belonged to Aiden Hill, who comes back from the Four Nations faceoff incredibly sharp.
Indeed. And, you know, Lankinen and Hill represented their respective countries in that tournament. Hill just didn't play. I mean, he practiced a ton, as we've talked about through the evening. Shane Knighty mentioned it this morning. Bruce Cassidy talked about it. And sure, Aiden would have loved to have played. But, hey, at least he got that experience and the practice. And, you know, the last game that he played was all the way back on February the 6th. So that was a win, but he only saw 15 shots in that game.
Yeah.
It was a relatively quiet beginning, only 5 shots in the first for Vancouver. Then they got 10 in the second, 19 in the third. And a bunch of those came on that late power play. They ended up with 7 power play shots, Ryan. Remember, they had not a ton of great looks on their first power play, but then that one in the third with Dorofeev in the box, they pulled Lankinen, so it was 6-on-4 for a short period of time. And you know that the best penalty killer is going to be the goalie, and Aiden Hill was definitely that. Yeah, he saved his best work for late in the game. And, you know, even when Teddy Bluger collided with him, you know, Aiden was not rattled by that. It seemed that goal would come off the board, which it did. And then there were some other moments around the net where it looked like there was some contact from the Canucks that, you know, the officials did not call a penalty. But then when it looked like maybe Vancouver had scored again, the puck that was underneath the left pad of Hill, the officials sided with Aiden and said, nope, Hill had it covered. And that wedge by Joshua was interference. And so even though it did go in after the whistle, the goal did not stand. So Hill was not rattled by anything today. And, you know, he makes that play with his stick, Ryan, on the goal scored by DeBrusque. As Gary said, maybe he's trying to do a little too much there. You can understand the instinct. And sometimes, you know, when in previous years, I'm thinking, especially when he first came to Vegas in 2022, you know, sometimes that one mistake could go in the wrong direction afterwards. Not today. I mean, he just got better and better as the game went along and saved his very best work for the third period when he, as I said, had to make 19 saves.
You know, I look at the goals tonight that were scored for the Golden Knights, and obviously Ivan Barbashev, it's a big one. It's his first goal since December 14th, but it's a rebound. It's winning a battle in front of the net. The same thing for Brandon Saad. Zach Whitecloud's shot goes wide. Saad is in the right area, and he's able to pounce on a rebound. When you've got a goalie like Lankinen who is stopping essentially everything, that's how the Golden Knights needed to find their offense tonight. And I just love their ability to get to those areas and capitalize on those plays.
Yeah, you know, in a number of categories today, that is, you know, especially before that last-ditch effort late in the third period by Vancouver, a number of the stuff that we track heavily favored Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, after 2 periods, the scoring chances off the cycle, 6-0 Vegas. Slot driving plays, 16-3 for Vegas. And then the high-danger chances were 6-1 for Vegas. Those were the numbers through 2 periods. Just to give you a snapshot of how this game was going on Vegas' side, but it was only a 1-1 game at that juncture. So the Knights were playing better. Lankinen had kept them in. And then, obviously, Vancouver had that pushback, as you said. And when you're not managing to beat a goalie who's having a great night, and the Knights you know, have run into a couple of really good performers in net in some of those losses before the break. Just look at the 2 games in New York against the Islanders and Rangers. But You're right. They found different ways of scoring. And their power play is not very often going to go 0-for-3. It did today. So cycling wasn't going to be the method of scoring. As you said, both of these goals come off of quote-unquote rebounds. One is the tip-on goal, and then Barbashev puts in the rebound right in front, and then later on side that rebound off the boards. But it's, you know, attacking with speed, and then you kind of throw the defending team into a tizzy. They're not sure where to go, and, you know, the bounce of the puck is hard to predict, and the Knights took advantage of that. And then, not that it's the same exact situation, but even Hurdle's empty net goal comes off a rebound when Howden missed. So all three goals technically today were off of rebounds or caroms, so to speak. So, it's just goes to show this team, and I thought that it was a well-balanced showing today. All four lines managed to have chances and have an impact on this game. And, that method of scoring, that's a good point, Ryan.
Now, one of the big question marks, obviously, for the Golden Knights moving forward is how you manage without Shea Theodore, who was injured in game number one of the Four Nations faceoff. Caden Korzak into the game today, picks up an assist on the first goal. What did you like about his game?
I think that he steadied himself. You can imagine he hasn't played as a defenseman in weeks. He did play one of those games on the road trip, but very few minutes, and he was essentially a forward. Bruce Cassidy doesn't do the 7-and-11 thing, really. Only under duress did the Knights have to play with seven defensemen. So, you know, Caden has found himself in this situation, and a veteran who might not be able to get into the lineup, you know, you have to learn that sort of thing. And Korzak is a little bit older now, and he's got to be able to get back into the lineup and perform well. And, Ryan, it sounds like Bruce Cassidy is stepping to the podium.
All right, let's go downstairs and hear from head coach Bruce Cassidy.
Pause. I didn't know what to expect, to be honest, and thanks for the shout-out there. Looking around the league tonight, we played one of the last games, so you're looking at some bigger scores in certain places. Other ones were a little lower. So you don't know how the players are going to react, especially if, you know, I wasn't here for the practices for the most part. I thought I liked our morning skate a lot. I thought guys had good zip. And it showed in our start in the second period. I thought Lankinen held them in, to be honest with you, early on. I thought we had some really good looks. And Helly had to do the same in the third. We kind of bent, didn't break, but, you know, had to start killing some penalties, too, that they did in the first period. So at the end of the day, a little fatigue sets in on the end of your shifts if you get stuck. And that's what I saw with both teams. They got stuck a few times. They iced second period, didn't they? Ice it like 3-4 times in a row. And that's what happened with us in the third. We got stuck out there a little bit, lose a couple D in the box for coincidental minors. So now there's guys get taxed. So that's what I saw on both sides. Listen, if you manage the puck, manage your shift length, usually you can get through these types of games, so you start getting back to your game mode. Both teams that time kind of lost that, and that showed that, you know, you just couldn't quite get it back as quick as you maybe normally would.
Brandon Saad comes in, new team, has a few games, then there's this break. He gets the game winner tonight, but what has he done to kind of just mesh with this team so quickly and become now a looks like a big part of what you guys are looking to do?
Listen, I'd say he's just been himself. He's been in the league a long time. He knows what he needs to do to be successful. He uses pace, forecheck well, have a good stick. You know, he tends to play a pretty direct game up and down the wing. He's not all over the ice, not one of those guys. He'll contribute on special teams. We've talked about that. Our first unit takes up a big chunk of the power play. Could be on the second. He fell into that in Boston. We're trying to use him on the kill. Looking at Lavoie on the power play a little bit, that's something he brought on his resume from the American League. We want to see if that translates here. So there's a bit of that. And he's been great, a good pro, practices well. I think he fits in well, the line he's in right now. He knows that it may change, you know, depending on health and what happens down the road, but been just a consistent, he's a, you know, that 14-15 minute guy, and that's what we're honest about, and that's probably what you'd similar role here. And but you'll get opportunities to play with good players. Moving Stone away from Jack allows us to balance the lines, and having him with Howie and Saad, or Carly and Saad when he's healthy, that, you know, so we had good opportunity. I think that was important to him to have a team to come to that has a chance, and he believes that. And we all believe that. So you throw all those things together, and that's what allowed us to bring him into Vegas in the first place, and now he's seen it firsthand. That's what we're doing. We're following up on that, and I think he sees a good hockey team that, you know, has a chance to win every night and has a chance to win it all. I think he wouldn't know that immediately, but I think he's seeing part of that. The team plays a certain way. The 2 years ago, we finished the last team standing, so he understands that, and that's what he wants. And so it's a good marriage for us because we were looking for a little veteran type of guy to help us out. We found him.
Danny. Hey, Bruce. Danny Webster, Las Vegas Review-Journal. You talked this morning about how Aiden might be a wild card just because he hasn't played in a long time, but seeing him throughout the tournament, how much did you talk to him about kind of making sure that he stayed engaged throughout? Because obviously he probably wants to go and he wants to play, but not getting the chance to. Did you have conversations with him during that time and just the way that he was able to keep himself upbeat and motivated?
No, I think once you're there, the only conversation was, you know, be ready. You might be find yourself in the net quickly playing for your country in the, you know, in a really important game. And so that was more his focus, was to be ready for if his number was called. I didn't want to get too far ahead of myself. Those players earned the right to be there. So you had to separate a bit from your own team and get ready. He got his work in practice. I kept an eye on that. But he needed to be fresh enough and worked enough to be ready to go in the net for Team Canada if his name was called. So that was first and foremost. We will catch him up here. He hadn't played in a while, so I knew that part would be exciting to him. He wanted to get back in the net. He's a competitive guy. And we'll see where it leads with his workload here going forward. But that was the only conversation. The biggest one we had about Vegas was Friday on the plane home. Is like, do you feel like you'd be ready to play or do you need some time? Because the emotional, and he wanted to get right back in the net. So that's how we made our decision.
Ken and Jesse.
Ken Bolgies in Midnight Vegas. Last couple of games before the break and then in this one, seems like teams are starting to kind of back off Stone when he's got the puck on the power play. First, am I seeing that correctly? Are you seeing that? And then secondly, what's the adjustment to kind of fix that?
So tonight they covered his outlets is what their forward ran backdoor with Pav, right? So the low play through the crease wasn't going to be there if they read it quick. Which we've seen against a number of teams where Pav gets that shot from the weak side low. They kind of shrunk into the middle on hurdle. I think there was an opportunity to hit it quick, but they had good sticks too. The play eventually was through the seam to Hanifin. He kind of slides in the back or move hurdle like we did in Boston, you know, into Pav's spot as there was a switch. So we didn't make that quick enough, to be honest. Yet we did hit Hanifin, I think, on the second power play. So there was some, and I think then it has to go back to Jack, and he walks up higher and looks for a play to Hanifin or a shot to the net and put Stoney net front for a screen. So there's some, those are the adjustments you can make. I think Jack did try to shoot it through the screen once. It got blocked and went into the netting. Hanny had a chance. We never really got it into, I think one went into hurdle. So we still, it's a tough part. You still want to be true to what made you successful without over-forcing it, but you may have to take a shot in there, and we did, and one got through to him. We didn't get the goal from it. The other ones didn't. Then we had never, you come out of the period, and you could talk to them a little more at length. Okay, next one. No, there never was a next one. So unfortunately, we made adjustments on the bench that we saw, but a lot's happening. It's always easier between periods to sort of walk through with everybody. But that's what happened. I thought we still had some decent looks, but we need to do a better job when you get three in a row. And I also give their goalie credit. I mean, he played pretty well, and we did. It wasn't like we had nothing, and we were not executing well. We just didn't make the last play.
Last one, Jesse.
Jesse Granger with The Athletic. On Sod with Stone, we saw Stone, how much success he had with Chandler Stephenson's speed through the ice. And obviously, Sod's on the wing, but is that speed part of why you like that combo? And do you think that could be a long-term thing?
Yeah, Stoney's always good with speed. Howie brings it in the middle. Sad will have it on the left. I've said this from day one. Our intention going into September was to see how it looked with William Karlsson. And there was, and we're almost in March. We still haven't seen much of it. So hopefully they're healthy at the same time and we can get a look at it. Now that allows us to balance it better. We know what he can do with Jack. We saw them at the start. Hurdle's line's fine, I think, the way it is. So that's kind of what we're looking for. But yes, we want speed with Stoney, and we're just not sure how it's going to land right now. But Sad is certainly brings that. So I think it could be a good fit. Who's going to go in the middle? Time will tell.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 3-1 victory for the Vegas Golden Knights. Take a break. Come back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
See the future of the VGK as the Henderson Silver Knights forge the night at Lee's Family Forum. Wednesday is Cheers and Beers Night featuring $2 beer specials. Visit hendersonsilverknights.com for tickets. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks 3-1, improve to 34-17-6, 74 points, top spot in the Pacific Division. Next in action Monday, 7:30 puck drop, 6:30 pregame show in Los Angeles against the Kings. Postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas still missing William Carlson, lower body week to week. Cole Schwint, lower body week to week. And now Shea Theodore, upper body week to week off of his injury in the Four Nations faceoff. So no Schwint, no Carlson, no Theodore. That's the outlook right now for the Golden Knights, but they did get Tanner Pearson back into the fold. Victor Olofsson played tonight for the Golden Knights. So beyond those three injuries, that's really what the Golden Knights are looking at in terms of injuries. And didn't seem like anything popped up in terms of this game. Alex Pietrangelo, who was nursing something prior to the Four Nations faceoff and pulled out of that tournament to get some rest and recovery, looked fantastic in this one tonight. So just something to keep an eye on in this final stretch run in the regular season for the Golden Knights. Take a look at the highlights in this game, and you know what? No scoring in the first period, but the story of the first period was Kevin Lankinen as he made a flurry of saves during the Golden Knights power play.
Tips it out. Here comes Eichel 2-on-1. Eichel on the right side, looking, centers, Dorofeev stops. Dorofeev again with a shot block. Now Olofsson shoots, glove save. Lankinen holds on.
Just a few of the big time stops Kevin Lankinen made in that first period to keep the game scoreless going into the second period. That's where we pick things up, and the Canucks opening up the scoring 6 minutes into the second period, when a centering pass from behind the net found Jake DeBrusk alone in front.
Backhands it behind. Centering pass deflected. Score! Elias Pettersson dished it across, and DeBrusk finished it. It is a 1-0 Vancouver lead.
Jake DeBrusk from Kiefer Sherwood and Carson Soucy, 6:22 of the second period, made it 1-0. Vancouver, but the Golden Knights tied the game just past the midway point of the period as Kaiden Korzak's point shot got deflected and Ivan Barbashev slammed home the rebound.
Knights set up, Eichel to the middle, Korzak toward the goaltend, rebound, score!
Sixteenth goal of the year for Ivan Barbashev from Victor Olofsson and Kaiden Korzak, 11:02 the second period, tied the game at one. So we'd head to the third period, all knotted up, and the Golden Knights took the lead just 18 seconds into the third period as Brandon Saad scored his 9th goal of the year.
Knights coming in to start the third. White Cloud a drive wide. Rebound Saad. He scores!
Second goal as a Vegas Golden Knight, 9th of the year for Brandon Saad from Zach Whitecloud and Brett Howden. Just 18 seconds into the third period, made it 2-1 Vegas. The Canucks thought they had tied the game on Teddy Bluger's goal, but that goal was called back for goalie interference.
Here's a left point shot save, rebound score! There was contact in the crease, the referee signals goal.
Teddy Bluger, the former Golden Knight, I believe was the last to play it. And with 14:41 to go in the third period, the Canucks have made it all square at 2-2.
After conference with the on-ice officials, the call on the ice has been reversed. We have no goal.
As obvious a no-goal call as you're going to find, Bluger makes contact with Aiden Hill, and then while he's lying in the crease, the puck goes off of him into the net. It's called back, so it's still 2-1 Vegas. Now, Vancouver would have their chances, a lot of chances, in that third period. 19 shots thrown Aiden Hill's way. They'd pull Kevin Lankinen late for the extra attacker, but Tomas Hertl iced the game with an empty net goal.
Deflected puck taken by the Knights. Out they come to the near side of center. A shot wide by Howden. Hertl, the rebound, shoots, score!
Second goal of the year for Tomas Hertl, an empty netter from Brett Howden and Nick Waugh. 19:29 of that third period made it 3-1 Vegas, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
On the right side, there is Soucy toward the net, scooped up by Hill, and the clock runs out.
Three to one, the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks, improved to 34-17-6 on the year for 74 points and top spot in the Pacific Division. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks 3-1. 34-17-6, 74 points on the year. Top spot in the Pacific Division. Next in action Monday, 7:30 in Los Angeles against the Kings. Checking in on the text line, 702-876-1340. That's your spot for instant reactions after every single Vegas Golden Knights game. Text line, always open for you, 702-876-1340. I like this text from Steven. Goalie duel from Lankinen and Hill. Fun game to watch. Both goalies made phenomenal saves. Way to come out on top, and glad to start back with a win. This game belonged to the goalies. It's very, very simple to look at this one, especially through the first two periods, because it's not like there was a lot of work for Aiden Hill over the first 40 minutes or so. There really wasn't. Now, there were some key moments and big-time saves that Aiden made in the first two periods, but it was overshadowed by the volume of work that Kevin Lankinen had in this game. Now, third period was a different story. And it's kind of the story of the game, right? Vegas, really good in the first period. Three power plays. Lankinen, spectacular. And then Vancouver opens the scoring. You got to dig deep. You got to find a way to kind of chip back in. It didn't seem like Kevin Lankinen was going to let anything in. But then the Golden Knights muscle a puck to the front of the net. And Ivan Barbashev wins a battle, puts it in on the rebound. That was the recipe for success tonight for the Golden Knights. That's what they needed to do in order to score. You weren't going to beat Lankinen clean. You needed to find ways to get second and third opportunities. And you saw it happen on Brandon Saad's goal. And even though it's an empty netter, it did happen on Tomas Hertl's goal, as Dan Duva pointed out. But in the third period, beyond finding ways to score, creating your own luck that way, you need your goaltender to help you get to the goal line. And he did. Aiden Hill was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal in the third period. And you don't win this game without that performance from Aiden Hill. So a lot to be encouraged by for the Golden Knights as you embark now on the final 25 games of the regular season and the battle to win the Pacific Division and make the playoffs. That's what's on the horizon. That's what's ahead for the Vegas Golden Knights. And this win was a nice win to start that final stretch. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-1 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks for the second time this season. Improved to 34-17 and 674 points on the year. Next in action, Monday, 7:30 in Los Angeles against the Kings. 702-876-1340 is the number. 702-876-1340. I want to hear from you. It's been a while since we've had the opportunity to talk about a Vegas Golden Knights hockey game. And it was a good one. You can go in any direction you want to. It can be just an overall vibe check on the team. It could be about Adin Hill's performance coming off of Four Nations Faceoff, where he was with Team Canada. He served as the backup in that tournament. He won the championship, but didn't get to see game action and comes back incredibly sharp. Now, it makes a lot of sense that Adin Hill was sharp in this game. You're talking about 12 days or so practicing with arguably one of the best teams that's ever been assembled in the National Hockey League, facing shots from Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon and Sidney Crosby and the like. It's not terribly surprising that Adin was sharp tonight. He was very good. So was Kevin Lankinen. Good goalie duel. But I want to hear from you. 702-876-1340. That's the number. The Golden Knights start this final leg of the season with a victory. It's now three wins in a row for Vegas. If you go back to what they were able to accomplish the last two games going into the Four Nations Faceoff break. So I want to hear from you. I invite you to call in. If you've never called in before, I want to hear from you tonight and where you stand with the Golden Knights in the final quarter of the season. 702-876-1340. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So it was great, of course, to come back and have a win. Brandon Saad had himself quite a game today, and I think it just shows yet again why we should always trust in what GM Kelly McCrimmon does when he is finding and acquiring new players.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's not really much more you could ask for from Brandon Saad, right? He's got 3 points, 2 goals in 5 games for the Golden Knights. First game for Brandon as a Golden Knight here inside T-Mobile Arena. He gets the game-winning goal. He's got speed. He knows how to go to the front of the net. He's a very direct player, and he wants to play on a winning team, and he wants to play, right? And I think when you've got motivated veterans like that, they assimilate pretty well in terms of the overall lineup. But I think Brandon Saad's got a lot left in the tank.
Yeah, I mean, it's fabulous to have him here on the team. It's a little bit weird seeing someone else wearing 20 because I was so used to seeing Chandler Stephenson in it. But
yeah,
hey, I'm happy to have a new number 20 on the team. And just happy to see that they were able to bounce back from giving up that first goal. And especially there in the third, there was quite a big push from Vancouver, but they held strong and pulled out the win.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Stephanie. Thanks so much for the call. It was a really good push by Vancouver. Give them credit. Like, I don't think they had their legs early on in the game at all. But they found something in the third period, and Aiden Hill was excellent for Vegas. 702-876-1340, that's the number if you'd like to join us here. I invite you to call in, talk about your first place in the Pacific Division Vegas Golden Knights. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, I had mentioned earlier in the week how spirited the practices were in spite of not having a full complement of players. And today was another one where you kind of got your feet wet. Everybody saw each other for the first time in a few weeks. And it was nice to see everybody back that could be back anyway. But even early in the week, these guys came to play. Without their leadership, they wanted to play. They played hard. And they played well. And I'm so grateful. Also grateful to see Aiden Hill play so well. It was as if he were channeling his inner Jordan Bennington in that third period, making those 10 bell saves. It was something to behold, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought Aiden was excellent.
Yeah, it was just fun to see those kinds of saves coming out of Chill this evening. And so I guess Samsonov plays, plays against the Kings, but that's not a guarantee anymore. As we go toward the finish line, help me understand this better, if you would, please. Mm-hmm. The most interpretive call that's made on the ice, I guess goalie interference as much as any, but the other one is too many men on the ice. Okay, so explain to me and everybody else, if you could, please, when it's appropriate to ignore too many men on the ice. I'd really like to know the answer to that one.
I mean, there's a grace period in terms of how close you're expected or should be in terms of where you're not considered too many men on the ice. It's pretty nebulous, to be honest, Mike. I think it's more judgment calls than anything else. I mean, obviously, if you jump onto the ice as an extra, as the sixth or seventh person on the ice and you play the puck immediately, you got to call that. Right. If you involve yourself in the play in that way. But I mean, you look at pretty much every single line change, you're going to have more than five skaters on the ice for the majority of those line changes. It's really about proximity to the benches and whether or not you are actively participating in the play in those moments.
Just one other thing. Is that or is that not a challengeable penalty?
I don't believe it's a challengeable penalty.
In other words, the team that's involved in the infraction cannot.
Yeah, I mean, if you get called for too many men on the ice, you can't challenge that it's not too many men on the ice.
Okay. It was such a weird call or non-call, and it reared its ugly head at the Four Nations. And, of course, tonight I'm sure Rick Tocchet had some things to say his postgame.
I mean, his team committed the infraction, and they were both infractions. And you go back to that Four Nations faceoff game against Canada, like there were three or four instances where they should have been called and they weren't. Sometimes the refs call them, sometimes they don't. Again, nebulous is the way that I would describe it. Sometimes it makes a lot of sense, sometimes you get the calls, other times you don't.
Okay, well, onward we go then. Thank you very much.
All right, appreciate it, Mike. Thank you for the call. 702-876-1340 is the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Wesley. Hey, Wesley, how you doing?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, finally great to, see some more hockey on the television again. So, yeah. And, I mean, Aiden Hill really did a great job there. I mean, he was getting, piled on so much. I don't think it's going to be the last time he's going to get piled on like that, is it?
No, probably not. I think that, you're gonna find teams, especially down the stretch here, that, are going to get to the front of the net. That's where you win and lose games, more or less. So you're going to have that area of the ice constrict a little bit. Teams are going to challenge goalies right at the top of the crease. So I would expect contact to continue to go up. And I thought Aiden played better in spite of the fact that there were a lot of bumps and players in his face along the way.
Yeah, I mean, being an NHL goalie, I mean, it really, really comes with the territory, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to have him. I mean, I think at this rate, I mean, we're going to be first in the division by the end of the season.
Yeah, good stuff there, Wesley. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. First in the Pacific Division right now are the Vegas Golden Knights. 702-876-1340 is the number. I invite you to call in. If you were at the game, I want to hear from you. First game since January 30th for the Vegas Golden Knights at home. So it's been a minute. If you were at the game, I want to hear from you. We have lines open. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm good, buddy.
So I thought that up until the halfway point of the season here that Noah Hanifin kind of had not the level of play we were hoping for him, but then we see a completely different version of him during the Four Nations faceoff. Do you think he was closer to that level tonight than he has been most of the season? And do you think he could have been better in the early half?
Yeah, I mean, I think Noah was solid tonight for the Golden Knights. It's a big opportunity in front of him right now. Without Shea Theodore in the lineup, Hanifin gets the opportunity to be on that first power play unit. And I know you're probably talking more about overall game than anything else, but I think for a player like Noah Hanifin, who takes a lot of pride in the offensive side of the puck, being a defenseman and chipping in offensively, you want to feel good about that part of your game. You really do. And you can get those touches and you can get that confidence on the power play. I thought the first power play wasn't as assertive as we're used to seeing Noah Hanifin in that spot. Second and third power plays were much better. He gets a really good look, utilized his feet to kind of open up lanes and really create some opportunities. So I thought his game tonight was pretty solid. I think every player will look at, you know, the first half of the season or most of their games and look at areas where they could be better. I think defensively, Noah's come along of late. And so what you're hoping for is that just continues to build over the course of the final 25 games. And by the playoffs, you've got a really complete player.
Definitely. No, I appreciate the feedback on that. It felt like one of the themes, especially, I mean, obviously everybody panicked in January, but it felt like a lot of the things that were missing this year was accountability. You don't see guys putting their bodies in front of pucks. And Hanifin, after the big extension that he gets from Vegas, I think you kind of expect to see that and you hope to see that. But you see a lot of guys in the NHL that get the big contract and then they kind of just peter off. And I was hoping that wouldn't be him. First half of the season seemed kind of like that's what he was doing. But I was very impressed with him in the Four Nations, and I was very happy with his game tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ryan, and thank you for the call. I think, you know, the Four Nations was pretty wild because when you look at those games, the level of execution, the pace with which those players were playing, it shows off one of Noah Hanifin's greatest skill sets, and that's his ability to skate. And when you're playing at warp speed, you almost lack the ability to think. You have to play on instinct in a lot of different scenarios. And I think that instinctually for Noah to be able to go out there, to utilize those instincts, the ability to skate the way that he can, to help shut down some of the players that he shut down in that tournament, skating stride for stride with a McDavid or a MacKinnon, I think is a big confidence boost. And I thought that he, again, tonight was really solid. And what you're hoping for from Noah is that he just is able to continue to grow into the player you know he can be, that he was after the trade deadline down the stretch for the Golden Knights last year. And a big part of that's going to be chipping in offensively. And I think that you're going to start to see that the more ownership he has of that first power play unit. We'll take a break. Answer more of your phone calls on the other side of it. 702-876-1340. If you'd like to join us, we have lines open. I want to hear from you as we talk about a big Vegas Golden Knights victory. That's coming up next on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. 3-1 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks. 34-17 and 674 points on the year for the Vegas Golden Knights. Top spot in the Pacific Division. A couple of points better than the Edmonton Oilers. Next in action Monday, 7:30 in Los Angeles against the Kings. 702-876-1340, that's the number. I want to hear from you. Got a little bit of time left here on the Extended Postgame Show. We have lines open, so if you call in, I'm putting you right on the air. And I want to hear from you if you were at the game. You're at the game, pick up the phone, dial the number. I want to hear your thoughts. As the Golden Knights are gearing up for the final 25 games or so of the season. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm good, bud.
Well, that was one heck of a classic Vegas-Vancouver battle. I thought Aiden Hill, looked like a Stanley Cup champion goalie, and he was all over the place. Vancouver was, on top of him all night, and I just thought that, coming out of a two-week break, Vegas couldn't have played any better, and just overall happy with the performance of the guys. And be nice when we get Shea Theodore back, but everybody looked good. But I just wanted to give a huge shout out to Aiden Hill. The way he played tonight, he was just all over the place, and it really showed.
Yeah, let me ask you, Brian, were you surprised that Aiden was as sharp as he was tonight?
I was a little bit, just because when you have a break that long, especially in a tournament like Four Nations, when you're having to travel cross country, and even though he didn't play, you still got the travel, you've got the intensity, especially of a U.S.-Canada rivalry. It's in the first period, it kind of, to me, overall with the team, it showed they seemed a little sluggish, but they picked it up. But yeah, you're always worried about that because with the travel and, of course, us losing Shea Theodore, that's a huge blow. But no, I thought he looked great once he got in that groove. Vancouver had a couple times there where they had, the puck was in the zone for quite a while. They were just pounding the net and it was like Superman out there just stretching out every way he could to stop everything. And that was coming out of that Four Nations. That was huge.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, Brian. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. It's funny because over the course of the week, you wanted to see Aiden Hill play in Four Nations. It didn't happen. Didn't work out that way. They still win. Still a part of a winning team. But when you look at it from the Golden Knights' perspective, your number one goalie in Aiden Hill was there. And he was taking shots in practice every day from McDavid, from Makar, from McKinnon, from Crosby, insert whatever name, whatever superstar on Team Canada you want to. And that's what Aiden Hill was seeing day in and day out when it came to the practice schedule. And if you're looking at the opportunity to kind of work on your game individually, if you're looking at, the ability to stay in the groove and continue to get your touches, but not be overly taxed by playing four games in nine nights, then that's what Aiden was able to get over this Four Nations face-off break. It keeps you in rhythm. And I think for Aiden, the want, the desire, as you heard from Bruce Cassidy, to get right back in there, to get right into a game, because he hadn't played in a while. You were able to see that sharpness in his game, especially in the third period. So in some ways, I'm not terribly surprised that he was very, very good and really sharp tonight. But, kind of to Brian's point, there's a lot of travel involved. Going up to Montreal, then going to Boston, then coming back from Boston to Vegas Friday, turning around and playing a game on Saturday, that's not easy. But Aiden made it look easy tonight. That's the sign, that's the mark of a goalie that's kind of feeling good about where their game is at, and you're going to need them over the final 25 games of the year. Now, Mike made a comment about assuming that Ilya Samsonov goes against the Los Angeles Kings. I certainly could see that as a potential, but LA, division rival, the next game after Los Angeles is Chicago. It's not particularly fair to Ilya Samsonov, but I would go with Aiden Hill in L.A. against the Kings, and I would go with Samsonov on Thursday against Chicago. That's what I would do. Then again, I'm not an NHL coach. So we'll see what ends up happening there, but I think for a divisional opponent, the opportunity to kind of put more distance between yourself and L.A., plus you want to kind of take advantage of where Aiden's game is at right now, I think I'd go with Aiden on Monday, Samsonov on Thursday. Take a break. Come back with more on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-1 the final. The Golden Knights defeat the Vancouver Canucks, 34-17 and 6, 74 points on the year, top spot in the Pacific Division. For the Golden Knights, it was a really solid win. You look at the first two periods, I thought Vegas carried the play offensively. They were in the zone. They were creating chances. The only reason, frankly, that this wasn't 3-4-1 going into the third period was Kevin Lankinen. He was excellent first two periods for the Vancouver Canucks. And then Vancouver's push in the third period was ferocious. Aiden Hill was excellent. Really solid, really sharp, and it gives a good foundation of which to build upon over the final 25 games of the year for the Golden Knights. They're going to be jockeying for position. Ultimately, the hope is A, to make the playoffs, and B, to win the division. Tonight was a good step in the right direction for the Golden Knights to get to those two objectives come mid-April. That's going to do it for me here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners, our callers, our texters. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls, your texts, and your input. Until Monday night, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.